So three men decided they were going to go on a journey. They went out into the woods. They were going to go on a hiking trip. They went way out in the woods. And so as they're hiking, they come to this river. It had been swollen by the rains that had just occurred a couple days before. And they were speechless as to how to get across. So they decided that they would pray to God for God's answer. So the first man prayed. And his prayer was, please God, give me the strength to cross this river. And all of a sudden, God made his arms get big and his legs get large. He dove in the river and swam across this raging stream. He almost drowned a couple times, but 2 hours later, he finally made it across. The second man, seeing what that first one went through, said, I'm going to change my prayer. He said, please God, give me the strength and the tools to cross the river. And all of a sudden, boom, there's a rowboat. So the man hops in the rowboat, and he rows, almost gets capsized 3-4 times, but he made it across. It only took him 1 hour. The third man, seeing what those first two went through, prayed a different prayer. He said, please God, give me the strength and the tools and the intelligence to cross this river. And poof, he was changed into a woman who then read the map and saw that there was a bridge about 50 yards up. She crossed in 15 minutes. Isn't that good? Thank you. I'll tell you what, this is what happens when you give me 3 weeks off every 4. I don't have to come up with sermon illustrations every week, okay? All right, so, by the way, I bring this to you because this is Christ the King Sunday. The last Sunday right before Advent, so it's either the last Sunday of November or the Sunday before that, is the day in which we acknowledge what's coming. Advent starts next week. Advent's that walk to the cradle where we see the birth of Jesus. But Christ the King is there right before to remind us that that baby found in that cradle is going to be the suffering servant. Christ the King is right before we walk to that cradle, that manger, to let us know that that baby we'll find in that manger will be the one who dies on the cross for us. The reason why we have this Christ the King Sunday first, right before this walk, this Advent walk to Christmas, is to let us know that that baby who was born, who was a suffering servant, who died on the cross, will be the King of Glory, the one in which we can worship now and forever, who will sit at the right hand of the Lord God Almighty. Now, this reminder is here to assist us so that we can know how to live our lives effectively. There's many forces in our world today that seek to tear us up. There's the pain over the loss of loved ones. There's the fact that life just didn't turn out the way you thought it would. Or that you have your dreams that you had out there, and they're all lost. Christ the King is here to acknowledge the fact that he's going to help us get through it and show us how to do it. The first aspect the Apostle Paul gives to us here in this passage I read earlier out of the book of Ephesians is that we're going to be given the truth to allow us to live effectively in this world. I'd like to read to you that verse again. This is verse 17. It goes like this. The God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, may he give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowledge of him. One of the greatest tools we have, like the opening story I talked about, the tools to get across the river, one of the greatest tools we have to deal with the world that surrounds us is the tool of the spirit of wisdom. And that wisdom is given to us in a form of revelation. You see, our faith, the Christian faith, is a faith in which God revealed who he is and what he expects of us. God showed it to us. We don't have to go searching for God. We don't have to create our own faith. And thank goodness for that. Because when we humans create our own faith, it's bizarrely warped. That's what Jesus said to the Pharisees. See, sometimes when we create our own faith, we can be incredibly judgmental about those people the ones who have those sins. And Jesus slammed the Pharisees for their hypocrisy of loving God, but not loving them. When we create our own religion, sometimes we can say, you know what? I can say my sin is not as serious as that person over there. Jesus highlighted the fact that sometimes we forget there's a plank in our own eye while we're pointing out the speck in our brother's eye. Sometimes when we create our own religion, this is why God revealed truth to us. When we create our own religion, we say, you don't have to be holy. You don't have to be pure. Live however you feel like. It's okay. Jesus addressed that when he said, go and sin no more. That's why God revealed to us all about the truth. Because if we were to do it, it would be bizarre. It would be horrible and cruel. So God showed us the way. That's what the scripture is all about. That's why when we gather each and every week, we share in the scriptures. We talk about it. That's God's path back to Him. But then God gave us another piece. God gives us the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which the Apostle Paul calls the Spirit of wisdom. You see, the Bible, it's very simple in its basic message. Jesus died for you, He rose for you, He lives in power for you. That's very basic. But it's horribly complex when we apply that to that neighbor we don't like. We apply it to the family member who came Thanksgiving and we're like, whew, I wish they didn't come. Or we apply it to us. Then it becomes complex. That's why God given us the Spirit of wisdom. So that we can understand. So that we can see with His eyes what He intended for us to see. Alright, so every quarter I have to give you a Lord of the Rings moment. Okay, for those of you who don't know what the Lord of the Rings are, I feel sorry for you. I'll be praying for your souls. So this is my Lord of Rings moment. There is one ring throughout that whole trilogy, including The Hobbit as well, the one ring that rules all. It was created by an evil wizard. But the amazing thing about that ring, it had special powers. The ring fell in the hands of one of the little people in the books. They're called hobbits. His name was Frodo. And Frodo, all hobbits want is a good meal, a good bed, and some good, you know, beverage. That's all they want. They just want to live their lives. But with the ring, he was able to see things. When he put the ring on, it's amazing. It was like all the physical that you think is there was pulled back. And he could see what was really there. He was being pursued by, looks like knights on horses. But when he put the rings on, it was almost like he saw the demonic forces that he was faced against. Now, I share that story with you because the Spirit that God brings to us is like putting on the ring so that we can go past the physical and we can see what God intends for us. The Spirit that God sends into our life, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, allows us to be able to see with God's eyes. And to see through the mess that we see in the world today. Let's be fair, folks. Our world is troubled. I have to admit, it can be a very depressing place. Those that you love, they die. I've done many funerals. In fact, when I counted up how many funerals I did in anticipation of the 25th anniversary of me being here, it was in the hundreds. Of how many funerals I did, of people we loved, we knew, and no longer here. When we look at the world around us, we see many sex scandals all of a sudden coming to light, and how women have to put up with men who think that they own their body. Frightening. We see around us where people traffic in drugs, and they don't care who they sell the drugs to, as long as they can make some money. And then there are people who traffic in human beings who don't care what happens to the human beings they have under their care as long as they make money out of it. We've seen that people hate each other. Not for any legitimate reason other than you look different than me. And there's that rampant in our world today. And if you look at each and every one of these things, it can be horribly depressing. That's the reason God sent His Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom, so that we can see beyond these events. You're going to hear a lot in days to come of my trip to Israel. That's part of the 2 weeks I was gone out of those three. One of the places we went, it was an optional trip, but we thought worthwhile. We went to Israel's Holocaust Museum. I mean, what a powerful thing. In the nation of Israel, their view of what the Holocaust was about. It's titled Yad Vashem. That's the name of the place. The main building that they have, there's a whole series of places you could go. We were only there for about 2 hours. We went in the main building, and it's a series of rooms that's like a zigzag going across through that whole building. And it started with Hitler's rise to power and how no one did anything. And when it became apparent he didn't like the Jewish people, very few nations of the world accepted the Jews from Germany. And as you went from room to room and got farther into the atrocities and cruelty of the Nazi Empire, it became more and more depressing. It was like hope was sucked out of you. About two-thirds of the way into the building, I thought to myself, did no one do anything? We're called as human beings to face evil. Did no one do anything? I almost walked out, by the way. It was so overwhelming. About two-thirds of the way into the building, then they start highlighting the resistance movements. And there were many of them. You just didn't know about them because guess what? They were underground. And so there were resistance movements that were Christian in nature, resistance movements that were Jewish people who fought back against those atrocities and that cruelty that the Nazi Germans were putting not only to the Jewish people but Christians as well. One of them's name was Oskar Schindler. And it's amazing when we started getting into names and people, hope started to return. Because now people, human beings, are facing evil and doing it with the power of love, with the power of God. Oskar Schindler, by the way, was a German industrialist. You might have seen his movie, Schindler's List. He was a member of the Nazi Party. Interestingly enough, he had a manufacturing business. So he had a company. He hired primarily Jews. And as a result of him having Jews in his business and bribing the officials, he protected all of them under his care. And then he made certain that those who were in trouble could try and get out of the country. And he did that to the tune of over 1,200 people. He got out of the country. Now, I share this with you because he is a place in which you find hope. It's as if the hopelessness of evil around you has been pulled aside. And you can see there's someone doing good in this world. That's what the spirit of wisdom allows us to see. By the way, Oskar Schindler, obviously he died. He's buried in Jerusalem in the Mount Carmel, Mount Zion Catholic Cemetery. He's the only person of the Nazi Party buried there because of the good he did in this world. Now, I share this with you because it can look like when we're walking through Yad Vashem, when you read the newspaper, turn on TV, that this world has no hope. That's why the spirit of wisdom has been given to us. So that we can pull back all those things that are going on around us. It can be pulled aside and we can see what God is doing. Whether God does it through humans or does it through us, there's power in that. Yes, evil may be in this world, but we're called to face evil. And we're called to do it with the greatest tools God gave to humanity, the tools of grace, love, and forgiveness. You might have messed up in your life. I've messed up plenty of times. And it may feel like, oh my goodness, I'm swallowing, I'm drowning here. The spirit of wisdom given to us allows us to see that God is doing something great in the middle of our mess to make us better, to make us more complete, more like the saints that God has called us to be. Now, where's this power found? It's centered in one person and comes from one event. It's in Jesus Christ, resurrected from the grave. Realize, folks, that's the hinge point of history, the resurrection. As a result of Jesus rising from the grave, no longer are we living a duty-filled life of religion. I'm going to go to church, I'm putting in my hour, I'm going to go home. All right, God, that's yours. No, because Jesus rose from the grave, we now can have a relationship with him that's deep, that's life-changing. Because he's not just alive back then, he's alive now. The resurrection is not just a power back then in the first century, it's a power available to us as we speak. Because Jesus is alive as we speak. Now I want to tell you, one of the reasons why we worship on Sundays is to acknowledge each and every Sunday we gather together that Jesus was raised on that first Easter Sunday. So we gather here every week acknowledging that the resurrection is a present power in our lives. The Apostle Paul highlighted this in another verse, Romans 8:11. If you want a life verse, this is it. Here's how he wrote it. When the Spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead shall give you life to your mortal bodies. That comes from the Spirit that's dwelling in you. Christ the King Sunday, the reason why we celebrate this, that was at the top of your bulletin, is to highlight the fact that Jesus walked this earth, yes, gave us great moral teaching, yes. The fact that he helped many people, yes. That he died on the cross, so true. But that he rose from the grave so that we can have that resurrection power right now. The power to deal with the difficult and to deal with your failures. The power to deal with death or the loss of job or of hate or a situation you're like, I have no idea what to do, God. Resurrection power that comes to us through the Spirit of wisdom and revelation helps us to deal with each and every one of those things in our world today. Now, I'd like to close with a person who shows this. His name's Jeremy Camp. He's a Christian singer, songwriter, and singer. His life was never always easy. In fact, shortly after he got married, his wife developed cancer and she died. In the interim time, then he found he was blessed with another love and he remarried. The song that I'm going to share with you today is titled Same Power. But he was going on a worldwide tour a few years ago. And the tour was scheduled to go to Kurdistan. But there was incredible persecution for those who tried to host this concert of Jeremy Camp. They don't want Christians coming in. They don't want to hear about this resurrection power because that takes power away from them. And so there's incredible persecution occurring not only to Camp not to come, but also the people who are trying to host this concert. So this song he sang to give them hope that in the midst of whatever we face, God is there because of his resurrection power, because he's alive now today. Here are the words from this song. I'm not going to give them all to you, just the verses. They go like this. He sang, I can see waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out, we will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. And then the chorus goes like this. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us. It lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us. It lives in us. He lives in us. We have hope that his promises are true. In his strength, there's nothing we can't do. Yes, we know there are greater things in store. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. And the song goes on. But you get the idea. The power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, available not just for those first century Christians, but for us 20 centuries later. That Spirit pouring out from God to those who want this relationship, who want to know Jesus Christ, that Spirit comes pouring out so that we know how to live effectively in this world. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you, wonderful God, for the amazing gift that you've shared with us, this Spirit of wisdom that comes to us because we're connected to Jesus Christ. Because we love Jesus, You give us those tools of how to live in this world. Help us to understand when our mind can't wrap around truths. To help us to deal with those issues we've created for ourselves. Help us to know how, as a result of us following you, no matter what we go through, not only will we overcome, but we'll be better for it. Thank you for Jesus, our Savior. It's in His name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.